Hey guys, welcome to episode 145 of the JV Club with my guest Paula Marshall. I am overjoyed that she was able to do the podcast. She's so funny. You know who she kind of reminds me of? I was just realizing. And Paula, if you know her, I hope you understand that this is a huge compliment to both of you that you remind me of each other, is Jillian Vigman. And for those of you who may have not listened to Jillian's episode, I strongly recommend it. It's a great companion piece to this one. We get a little raunchy, a little bit sex talk, but great, great, great. I'm such a huge fan of hers. Like, big time, thinks she's amazing and so talented and funny and great. And so I was very, very glad to have her on. I want to do a couple of shout outs. I was going to kind of give you dates that I'm going to be in various places, but I got to be honest with you guys. I just don't have that in front of me. You know how I am. You know how I get. You know, you're like, oh, Janet's getting like she gets. So we'll just do some shout outs instead. I hope you can bear with me on that. I want to thank Erica and Rick. I got your t-shirts to you, I'm happy to say. Still have a couple left. I think maybe I have like one women's large left. And then I have a handful of men's extra larges and larges. I want to thank Beatrice for getting in a shirt as well. I want to thank Catan for creating an astonishing and wonderful, and I hope you saw it on Twitter. I'm going to post it on the Facebook page as well. But if you recall, I did, we issued a challenge. Janine and I issued a challenge to someone to create an I Got Groot image. And boy, did she ever. It is fantastic. Like, I would wear that as a shirt. I'll tell you that right now. So thank you so much for that. So, so great. And I have also tweeted her Tumblr. So you can check that out if you want. I want to thank Jennifer for letting me know about this really cool Quora art show that's going on next month. Month in the Southern California area that I'm definitely going to go check out. I won't be there for any of the major events, but I'm so going to go and probably buy stuff because Quora fan art is the most beautiful art in the world. I want to thank Superbad Larry, my dear fan Superbad, for recommending Austin Land. I've never seen it. I don't know much about it. I'm aware of it, but I do enjoy Jane Austen, so I got to check it out. I want to thank Nicholas for the offer of chocolate popcorn in Seattle. I hope to get you to take you up on that when I'm at the Emerald City Comic Con in a couple weeks. And Haley, thanks for your email. Melody, thanks for your Facebook message. Claire, ditto you with your great MASH suggestions. I just want to give a special shout out to Eagle Eye. I don't know why. I just had a feeling that maybe it would be fun and good for me to tell her I was thinking about her. So throwing that out there too. Salute to Eagle Eye. Guys, have a wonderful, wonderful I was about to say experience listening to this. Ugh, how self-serving. You know what? You go out there and have a wonderful day or a wonderful night. Up to you. But you can only have one.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
I like that you're, I was going to say double fisting it, but that already has implications
hey now,
that I'm not comfortable
that's
with
dirty.
At all. Paula Marshall, welcome to the podcast. That's
Hi.
The most formal welcome I've ever maybe given anyone.
I feel good about that.
That's the most fanfare I've given.
Which I'm honored.
Still not very much.
I feel it. I feel the love coming across
it's
the table.
Coming across in creepy waves.
Yeah.
This is your first podcast?
Very first. Podcast virgin. I'm not sure what to expect.
Well, it gets dark. Very
dark.
Quickly.
I'm sensitive and I might tear up. Where you see, really now, if okay. This was a real, you know, podcast table, you would have tissues here because your
you're
guests
right.
will cry.
You're right.
If like
you're
in right. therapy, I walk in and the woman, she's like, how are you? I'm like, hang on. And she's like, Paula, we should start talking before. I must hold it all in. Anyway,
that doesn't surprise me in the least because you have a very, you know, because we don't know each other
at all.
But
strangers,
total strangers.
Kind of
I picked
creepy.
You up off the street.
You did.
No, I'm just I'm a real fan of your work, which is kind of, I guess, a semi gross thing, but also a very sincere thing to say. Because you are extremely funny.
Thank you.
And, you know, there are. I don't want to start out with like a Hollywood bitterness because I don't mm-hmm. feel it at all. Mm-hmm. But there are certainly people who work in comedy who are I don't find funny in terms of having any timing or any sense of irony or really an understanding of that.
Yeah, I kind of, I don't even know how I became funny. It was, I came to Hollywood as a young woman. And I think my first, one of my first guest spots was on a little show called Seinfeld. That's right. I played an NYU reporter who thought Jerry and George were gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that. And I remember rehearsing and the director was like, hey, Paula, hey, don't forget to hold for the laugh. I'm like, oh, sorry, sorry. I'm so sorry. I forgot. And I look at Jason Alexander and I go, what does that mean?
Oh, wow. Hold
for the laugh. Because I had never done theater.
Yeah.
I am all about making money. That's why I never did theater. I'm not interested. And so in front of the audience, I just kind of forgot. Oh, and so the Jason's like, well, yeah, Paula, they're going to laugh. And so you can't start talking. You have to kind of keep acting. It's like riding a wave. And it truly is.
Yeah.
It is like riding a wave. And I learned to ride a wave, one wave. In Hawaii this year. So now I really can say it's like riding a wave.
You should get in touch with Jason Alexander immediately. Because he's probably wondering still to this day, haunted by whether or not you really understood the metaphor.
Ride the wave, hold for the laugh. So yeah. he taught me, and that was my first situation with comedy.
Had you and had you done other stuff? But you had you been booked in like drama and stuff up to that point, or was that one of your very first jobs?
I guess light drama. One of my first jobs ever was a little movie called Hellraiser 3.
Yeah,
bragging. They did two before. So bragging. I'll tell you what, I learned that I was cast out of New York and we shot at North Carolina, and it was so what a silly movie. But I really learned a lot about continuity and just movie making,
sure.
Even though it was semi low budget.
Sure.
It was a great learning experience. But I was on the light side. I don't really like drama so much. I don't find it fun. And I think life should be about fun. You should have as much fun as you can all the time.
Yeah.
So
that's when a good attitude for a mom.
I think you're a lucky
child.
Yeah, very lucky. So I like to make people laugh and I like to laugh. And so I lean towards comedy. I mean, if I do a sitcom, then of course your agents will go, well, now we probably think let's try to get a drama.
Right.
And I do a little drama and then you cry all day long. I did a silly guest spot on some show last year and I was just crying for hours. And I just said, this is not, I am not paid enough to cry and then have my eyes be puffy all the next day and be emotional, like crying, because I don't fake it. I'm crying. They don't blow the stuff in my eyes.
Right.
I cry because I can cry easily because I'm very in touch with my emotions.
Sensitive.
Very close.
I think, you know, there are people who do, I guess, thank goodness, because, you know, there are people like watching drama as well. I actually like watching drama more than I like watching comedy because it feels less connected,
better.
To work and stuff. But yeah, the people that I feel like I've spent a lot of time. This, by the way, is not a showbiz podcast, so we don't have to stay with this. But I feel like I've spent a lot of my career here, and even before I came here, apologizing for being an actor because I didn't want to be thought of as the kind of person who's like, listen, all I want to do for a living is just go do a show about how children are being murdered and I'm their mother. And you know what I'm saying? Like, to want to touch that all the time is not something I could ever do. And I think that it has, there's an attachment to, like, I shouldn't have been so defensive about it because it's like, it's great and it's fine. And, you know, Claire Danes puts on amazing performance doing Homeland.
Very talented.
Thank God, you know, she's fantastic.
Very serious.
To have to live in that space all the time. And I think I associated that when I was younger, even before I got into any kind of sketch comedy or anything, when I just was doing like Shakespeare plays in college.
Right.
I had this apologetic feeling that was like, I'm not like,
I don't need it.
I'm not like, can you give us the room? I need the space for my, you know. But also, like, when I talk to people now who do that, I respect it. I guess maybe because I'm less afraid of not being like that or something. I don't know.
I mean, I can do either. I do drama and comedy. I just prefer comedy because I enjoy the way it makes me feel.
Did you horse around a lot when you were younger? Or were you the funny kid?
No, I wasn't.
Oh, no?
What's strange.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Rockville, Maryland, a little town. I had no one. I am not related to Penny or Gary Marshall.
We should clear that right out of the
gate. Not related.
Should have cleared it right out of the gate.
Would have been
Rob Marshall?
Farther. No. No one.
Marshall Tucker. Now I'm just bringing people with their first
names. Actually, I have a brother named Bob Marshall. You didn't say Bob, who is like a Republican. So I don't really talk about him. in the house, like the House of Delegates in Virginia, and we constantly fight about whatever. I am like, he's anti-abortion. I'm pro-abortion. I want everyone should just try it once, just because we can, and it's still our right. Until, you know, 2016, if Hillary doesn't win. And let's talk. I mean, I don't care what was in her emails and why. Who has 60,000 on your server? Anyway, I know I'm going off, but I'm so angry at the obsession with emails, Hillary's emails. Okay, back to what we were talking about. Comedies, not related.
And by the way, we can also talk about Hillary's emails.
We can. Fine. But like, who cares? Why are we interested? Yeah. We're not interested. I am not interested in her. They're making up shit to divert attention to the fact that they're idiots.
I can't.
I'm so political. Like, I love hate politics. I was talking with David Duchovny the other day. I dropped that right on the floor in front of you.
You really did.
And he was on Bill Maher, and I texted him. I was like, "Oh, I saw you on Bill Maher, and you were great. He just wrote a kid's book or something." And I go, I love hate politics. He's like, I hate politics. I hate it. And I go, I know I have this tortured relationship with politics because I grew up with a very democratic mother, just the greatest mom ever. And she actually told me Obama was going to be president when she saw him at the Democratic National Convention years ago.
She's like, that's so cool.
She's like, Paul, there's a black guy. I'm like, yeah. This is the old, she's like 80. She's like, a black guy. And I swear, Paul, he's going to be president. I'm like, wow, do you really think America will do that, Mom? She's like, I don't think so. But he's so great, and he's such a great speaker, and he reminds me of John Kennedy. I was like, oh, Mom. Anyway, there you go.
She said it. She figured it out.
So on election day when he won, we both like called each other and cried. It was lovely.
Absolutely.
But anyway, love politics, it makes me angry, and yet I'm still hopeful that. But then you watch House of Cards. You watch Constance. I finally started watching House of Cards for my friend.
It's so good.
But it really makes you. It's so well written. It's so well directed. But the Senate and the Congress and all the favors and the thing, and you wonder why nothing gets done. And to pass a bill, it takes 100 people or more. I don't know. To pass one thing.
We haven't got to the part in the lesson of House of Cards where you actually know how many votes it takes.
It's ridiculous. So anyway, my brother's in politics. I am I'm a Democrat. He's a Republican. Again, I'm obsessed.
Your cousin's in politics and your brother's in politics and they're both Republicans?
No cousin.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said you had a cousin named Bob. I don't know why I thought
brother
that.
Bob, Robert
my
Marshall.
Bad. My
but he
bad.
One time one of his he had called me and he said, Paula, I was interviewed on something and some reporter asked me if Paula Marshall was my sister, and I said yeah, and asked if I was naked on a TV show called Californication. I'm like, that's right, Bob, I was naked and I was taking it from behind on television. And he was like, well, why do you do that? I'm like, because they paid me $2,900 to take it from behind. Literally, it was $2,900 because on on Showtime, cable station don't pay very much. And I remember when my agents told me I got the part, I was like, woo, I'm taking my clothes off. Because I thought, oh, they'll have a stand-in.
They
always do when it's, real actors don't have to take their clothes off. The other girls take their clothes off on that show, but not real actors.
Right.
And so I did, and it was fine. But I remember standing there, like naked, in a house in Venice going, it's amazing what I will do for $2,900. I've just did, like, here it is. Here it is, people.
Yeah.
And then I got a bump. I got a bump to like, $10,000 an episode on the second season.
Oh, that's because, nice. Nudity. You were great on that show.
Well, thanks.
And I've never done anything, I've never done nudity. Was that your first time doing it, or had you done it before?
No, I have been naked, my friend.
But you were also
naked.
I'm going to draw the through line, and it could be completely off, but I found out very recently from you that you had been a model when you were a teen.
That's right.
Is there a sense of asking, because the relationship that you might come to understand about your body as a model at such a young age is very different than someone like me who was just like schlubbing around in Tucson. Nobody was asking other than like an occasional person to see my boobs or to like take my clothes off in a quick change backstage of a blah, blah, blah. Do you know what I mean? So I'm just wondering if that changes your relationship.
I think it did.
Early.
I got dressed in more places than a person should in a subway stall. I mean, like, I would just take my clothes off and change because it's about quick change. It's about changing your clothes quickly. And I never really minded. I never had a body issues. And so it was only strange when you had another person doing things with you while you're naked.
Right.
That's the odd thing. When you're standing there or you're holding, you know, for a photographer, somehow it's artistic.
Right.
And I mean, you're
the focus of attention and it's,
it's about a product or it's about a line of clothing or a fragrance or anything.
Yeah.
Anything but having fake TV sex or movie sex.
Yeah.
So I did take my clothes off on a couple occasions, but it always seemed to be okay. My agents were fine with it. I was fine with it. It's funny though, like the stuff you talk about when you're having fake sex. I remember with David, it was the first day, by the way, and it's always the first day of shooting.
Why do they do that?
My name is Paula. and you know, things are taped up. The boys have to tape their stuff up.
Sure, sure.
So it doesn't sweat or slap up against you when you're having fake sex.
That's good to know. This is very good information to have.
It's important.
I've never talked about this.
Yeah. And then you tape things up.
Yeah, yeah.
As much as you can. And then still looking like you're naked. It's
right.
The tricks. The tricks, the wardrobe tricks on that Californication set. It's something. But like, you know, you turn around. Again, we were having sex from behind. And so they did a take and then they're like, okay, we got to change something. So we're just relaxing on my elbows, on my knees. And I turn around to Dave and I'm like, so what's your favorite movie? It's just like the weirdest things that you talk about because you're all hot and heavy and then you immediately shift to whatever.
Yeah.
It's very awkward and it's silly and no one's really that comfortable. Kissing's always fun. I don't mind kissing unless you're gross.
And have you kissed a lot of gross people? No need to name
a names. A few gross people. Mm-hmm. And I've kissed some amazing, and my husband will always get mad that I say Jason Bateman is the best kisser.
Oh,
and he is.
Great to hear.
I mean, we did a sitcom years ago called Wild Oats, and I was it was Jason Krumholtz, D.W. Moffat, and Jason Bateman, and... did I say David Krumholtz, right?
No, you said Jason.
That's right.
You said Jason, and then you said Krumholtz.
There you go.
In my mind,
David Krumholtz. So funny. So, and I was the girl, and we were doing the pilot, and I remember Jason wouldn't kiss me. The scene called for like a first kiss in the show, and he wouldn't kiss me during rehearsal the whole time. And I'm like, well, that's kind of interesting. That's kind of cool. So maybe it'll be even more real.
Right.
Or odd, because then we're going to be even more nervous.
Right, right.
So tape night comes, and he kisses me. Maybe it wasn't the pilot. No, I think it was. He kisses me. And my knees get weak in front of the audience.
Oh,
I forget my lines. And I look at him. I'm like, I'm up. What's my line? And I really didn't. He really blew my mind with that kiss.
Wow.
So he was very good. His Amanda's a lucky woman. Uh-huh. My husband, Danny, we met on a movie. And I did. I kept messing up on purpose. I need another take.
You did.
Very good kisser, too.
It was a great story.
Good story. His Carl Reiner was directing, and I played Bette Midler and Dennis Farina's daughter. And Danny Nucci played this paparazzi guy that I kind of fell for. Well, I really fell for him.
Uh-huh.
He was a very good kisser. So he was probably my best movie kiss.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason was my best TV kiss. So.
Well, but I'm wondering too. I mean, so you're married to an actor, so I guess that you there's a different kind of understanding that can happen in that way. But I mean, that's sort of another thing that I feel apologetic for about the business and about the people that we are and about the attraction that we have to the work is that I've fully been confused by situations like that.
Yeah.
Like you know, especially in the beginning, sort of,
yes.
Even being in plays in school is just different, although I'm sure there's a opportunity for that as well. But like stuff where I don't want to contribute to the idea that if you're on a set in a different city and you're playing with a person who's very charismatic and great and lovely and they're your love interest or whatever, that there isn't this weird spillover where you're like,
but there is. But there is.
Are we in love, though?
But you can't. But again, it kind of happens. And it's natural because it's who you're hanging out with.
Right.
If you were a school teacher, you would probably maybe be attracted to, you know, the gym teacher.
Right.
Why? Because he's around.
Right.
And he knows what you do and you're relatable. And so the same thing happens. The drag is you go home after 3 months.
Right.
Or 4 months of a movie set. But, you know, I think a lot of people meet that way. Just, you know, the convenience. And it is a little... But does that create
a culture of paranoia in a long-term relationship when it's just something that you kind of have to keep working through together? Like, every couple has problems, and maybe for two actors, the problem is, I just need to hear you say that you're not going to leave me for this person,
for
whatever else you might
Angelina
be feeling
Jolie.
Going on. I guess that's the elephant in the room, right?
Yes, like, but here's the thing. Moments. If your relationship is strong enough to start with, Angelina Jolie, maybe she could tear it apart and ruin it. But if you have something going on, then you're not going to be looking. When you're not happy at home and then you go away for 3 months and someone else says, you're nice and you're okay just the way you are, you know, then I think it happens. But it's the stereotype. I think you have to be you got to make boundaries. A lot of actors and actresses who are married, they have like the 3 week rule. Mm-hmm. I get it. Because you want to maintain
and
that
the 3 week
connection.
Rule for anyone who doesn't know is like, I have to see you every 3 weeks.
Yeah, someone has to come visit the other one.
Right.
Again, I do mostly television and I've always been a homebody. I don't like being on location. When we did that movie, I'm like living out of a suitcase for 3 months.
Right.
It's weird.
You feel like you're sort of hovering above your life, which is kind
you
of.
You are.
Good, when you're younger too,
really cool.
Some people like that feeling and some people find that feeling uncomfortable.
Yes.
And you can go from being one to the other or whatever. But
it's fun. Again, when you're young and you have no commitments and you have no children, boy, is it fun.
Yeah.
In the city and the traveling and you just spend your per diem. And you're always like, what is that Canadian? But what is that American? You're always trying to figure what kind of the rate, how it changes.
But
now that I'm here, all I want is something that shoots in town. And because I've only wanted to be a TV star. I've always wanted to be Mary Tyler Moore. I mean, that was the goal. And when Gary and Married was canceled, I'm still so angry. Where are the tissues, Janet? Where are the tissues? I am still so angry because it was one of the greatest roles I've ever played. Not only did I play, you play the ex-wife, usually that's the bitch. Mm-hmm. But they made her so lovely and relatable, and you saw why these two people were together in the beginning.
Yeah.
And you saw glimpses of that.
Yeah.
And I think it's with marriages, it's you know why they fell in love at some point, and then life gets in the way and you can't deal with each other anymore. But it was such a sweet, show.
Yeah.
And again, it's shot in town.
Yeah.
And I brought my child to work with me when I was on Out of Practice, which was another show that only lasted a year, a sitcom. If you haven't Googled me, I've done a lot of different TV shows that haven't lasted very long.
Yeah.
Not my fault, by the way.
Uh-huh. No, I don't blame you at
Thank
all.
Thank you. I brought my daughter I had my daughter and I got home from the hospital and there was a script on my step, on my doorstep. For some reason, I had a computer, but they weren't emailing scripts. So I actually got a paper script in my hand and I read it and they said, yes, but they can't find this girl. It's a sitcom. So the hours would be great. And I'm like, I just had a baby.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, I know, but just a pilot. So I read it. It was really funny. Henry Winkler and Stockard Channing, I believe, were cast already. And I drove away wearing my husband's t-shirt. I was playing a lesbian ER doctor.
Uh-huh.
And I remember driving away going, okay, well, my boobs are leaking and you have like these little pads so that they don't leak. And I'm going to test for a pilot. And I felt literally like I left half of my body. Like I had a baby.
Uh-huh.
And it's like 3 days later and I'm driving to CBS. I tested, I got it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, well, what do I do with the baby? I have this thing. So my husband brought the baby to work with me and stayed in my dressing room while I breastfed.
Wow, that's amazing.
And then took her home on tape night. And then when the show got picked up, again, that's when I really had this great opportunity to like kind of have it all when working moms.
Mm-hmm.
I brought the baby to Paramount. We shot right down the street and I put her in the stroller. And the sitcom hours are great. They're 9 to 2 or 9 to 3.
Yeah.
I rolled over to my dressing room and I met my nanny and she rolled the baby. And then the baby took a nap and before you know it, and then she went home. It was like the greatest. So sitcom life is the best thing in the world for a mom.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So I've been desperately trying to get back. Again, I'm still mad at CBS.
But it's also hard because it feels like that stuff is happening less, right? There's more sort of like community television show hours where you're like, oh, it's a comedy and it shoots 14 hours a day.
I did a show years ago another 1 year, but it was really funny. It was ahead of its time, I like to say. It was on NBC called Hidden Hills. And we were there. Monday morning, I was there, I think, at 5:30 in the morning. And Friday night, I'd wrap around 1:30. And then I had to find some good sleeping pills for Sunday night because I couldn't. Your clock was so messed up.
Oh, yeah. By the time you get to the end of the week and then you're starting over that early, that's
it's awful. But, you know, again, it was a comedy. So there was that.
Yeah. At least it's Yeah. Drama. I really hear you on that. Right? I really hear you on that. Let me get back to you as a teenager in Rockville.
God damn it. Don't go back. Don't go back to Rockville.
Okay, there you go.
There it is.
What was your teenage experience like before? Like, when did you start modeling and how did that come to be? And like, how was your family, obviously, of politicos, if you don't mind me saying, how did that all kind of shape itself? Like,
my high school, I was captain of the pom pom squad, Robert E. Perry pom pom squad. There was a great theater in my high school, my public high school.
Cool.
I was never involved. Mm. I love photography. I took a photography course. I didn't have any money to go to a real school, nor did I have the grades to go to college. And it was just kind of not for me. I ended up going to a community college in Rockville and, took a photography course and then met somebody at the mall. Her name was Jan Stevens, J-A-A-N Stevens. I don't understand that, but there it is.
Sometimes you need that extra A. You never know.
Jan.
You know?
And she found me, discovered me. I started modeling locally, making some money here and there, started doing commercials. And then this woman by the name of Jay Sumner, who was an agent at her, this Panache modeling agency, hooked me up and said, you know, you really should be an actress. And so that's kind of how it happened. But in high school, I was literally just, I didn't know what I was going to do. I could have married my, you know, accountant boyfriend. That's all he wanted. He wanted to be an accountant. And I think he is, which is weird. Not a lot of people left Rockville. And I just knew I had to. I did move from my parents' house to Georgetown. I ran away from home, kind of, against my parents' wishes with a boyfriend. And modeled, did commercials, and then eventually moved to New York City to study acting.
Were your parents, did you feel pressure from your parents about the academic side? Is it just you and your brother?
No. No, I have two sisters in between. So I'm the youngest. Okay. He was the oldest. Not really. None. It's funny.
You're the youngest, you said?
I am the youngest.
So do you think maybe they were just like, listen, by kid
you're fine,
four,
you're
just
pretty.
Sort of,
you'll survive. You know, I think they didn't expect much from me. My parents were very simple people, great people, but my dad had a government job. I remember one time, and I too had a government job along with my friend Veronica. We both took typing tests. A lot of people in Maryland, they just, let's work for the government. Why?
Sure.
Because you can never get fired. That is what my father said to me, Paula. And I remember working, so I would go to community college in the morning and would flirt with, you know, Norman in the darkroom, this cute guy, who also was taking photography courses with me. And then I'd work at this place called NIH, which is the National Institute of Health. And I worked in the child health development section. It's just where I got landed. You know, you took a typing test. You could type so fast. Oh, here's some options. Do you want a job? And I would drive there and I would work as a secretary. And I remember being in my little cubicle office, and I would have Bill King. Do you know who Bill King was?
I don't think so.
Bill King was a photographer. And again, I'm still obsessed with photography now. I would put these Bill King posters all over my room, my office. And it was just models doing.
That's kind of what he does, is sort of like
big white running people moving. Back in the 80s when Cindy Crawford and Christy Turlington.
So like a Herb Ritts sort of vibe to it?
Okay. Yes. But Herb Ritts, I always think, is mostly black and white.
Okay.
Bill King was a lot of movement and color.
Okay.
Anyway, it was the 80s. So I would do that. And there's this woman, Evelyn, her name was. And she was an attractive woman, red hair, kind of a husky voice, probably from all those freaking cigarettes she was
smoking. I want you to know that I'm imagining Jessica Rabbit.
Right. A little bit, but with shorter hair. She leans in the doorway. She's backlit now. Okay. She leans in and she goes, Paula, takes a puff of her cigarette. She goes, what are you doing here? I said, what do you mean? She goes, you don't belong here.
Interesting.
And I said, well, you know, I'm just, I'm, I'm just kind of, you know, spending some time and making some money. She's like, you got to get out.
Interesting.
I never got out.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, she never
She never got out.
Wow.
And I think it was maybe 2 weeks later I left.
And so is that what that one, I mean, it is so interesting when we have those people who kind of come into our lives yeah. and just like drop a bomb like that.
That was it.
And sort of crack open the thing that's inside yes. you anyway.
Yes. So she told me to leave. Evelyn, I don't know her last name. And
I wonder who wouldn't have left. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's so interesting who, the people what person who, goes, I hear that and I think she's right, but that's too scary.
Because I'm scared. Do you know how ballsy we are to move to California and not know anyone? I didn't know anyone
yeah.
and try to be an actor. It's weird. And again, like that ego, I'm sorry. You apologize. It's, I don't want people to think, oh, I need attention. I need people to look at me. I was in it, one, for the money, because right. I was like, wow, you made a lot of money doing this.
Right.
I didn't have the brains to do anything. I had a reading disorder I only discovered when I was 30,
uh-huh.
which always made reading books really hard for me.
I
believe it's called Erlene, mm-hmm. I-R-L-E-N syndrome.
That's a pretty name for right? a syndrome.
Right, Erlene syndrome. What it is like when you open a book, and the font is black, okay? The paper is white. Mm-hmm. Now, when I read, it's almost like the font, the little words are moving. It's very hard for me to focus.
I totally understand that.
It's just like I'll read a paragraph and yeah. then you're like, I'm not sure what I read. Let me read it again. I couldn't focus on a book. Can you imagine going to college and
really
not being able to focus?
I understand that, though, because it is one of those abstractions where it doesn't seem like it would take much for those symbols, right, these words yes. that we understand to be, for them to just become wiggly black symbols on a white background.
It's weird.
I actually can fully understand
and
that.
And I don't know what it's not ADHD, it's not ADD, yeah. it's nothing. It's this thing, the way the contrast from mm-hmm. the font in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I discovered this because my husband, we were he was shooting a movie the week and Utah or something, and he had brought, this is before iPads and you couldn't bring your Kindle or whatever,
right?
He had like 5 or 6 books on his nightstand, and I was like, gee, you know, you read a lot of books, we were just started to date. He's like, yeah, you don't read a lot of books. And I go, you know, I think it's because I relate it to work. It's like reading scripts. I don't when I'm not working, or I want to relax, I want to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
And so I also mentioned, and you know, I can't really focus, like 3 pages in, my eyes are sore, I don't need glasses. It was not that. And he said, yeah. God, that sounds like my friend Bruce had the same problem. Turned me on to this place. I got my eyes checked. Long story short, I read a book with a blue gel to kind of connect the font to the paper, and it makes it easier for my eyes to
read.
So
is it, okay, so
calms it yeah. down. It's like, you know, like, it's just like a lighting, like the grips put those little filters on the light.
A blue filter.
It's a blue filter. My color is blue. The other people have other colors. And
were you pleased that your color was blue? Because I find it a very soothing
color. It's a soothing color.
I wouldn't want to look through yellow, for example.
Yellow is nasty, jaundice-like. Mm-hmm. But the blue, but so we go to, just for fun, before I was, like, you know, officially tested at the Erlene Institute, we went to Staples and we got a clear blue folder and we said, well, let's just see if it'll work while we're in Utah. Nothing else to do. We couldn't find a drink anywhere. You really couldn't find a drink in Utah.
Yeah, they're pretty dry over
Crazy.
There.
Crazy. So I literally opened this folder, cut a piece, and read the book that my husband was reading, which was Michael Crichton's Timeline.
Let me just say, I'm a fan of Michael Crichton.
Are you?
I just think he's, in terms of, like, how did one man come up with all of those different, like, he's a genius.
A genius.
He was.
He sat in his office and would research, and I'll tell you, this is going somewhere. But so I read Timeline. I read 75 pages without stopping. That was the first time in my life I'd ever done
just
that. Because of the blue gel.
You binge read, yeah.
Because of the blue gel.
Yeah, of course.
And that was it. Years later, my girlfriend marries Michael Crichton.
Are you serious?
And before that, I gave her the book, Timeline. And
are
was like, you
got to
read Timeline. She moves out here. She marries Michael Crichton. They have a baby.
Oh, my God. Listen, I couldn't have
rest
imagined that was going to be.
Isn't that weird?
I know. Rest in peace.
Poor guy.
But, like, was he a genius? Now I know that.
Yeah, he
was. He really seemed like
he was
a genius.
He was a very hardworking, freakishly tall.
Mm-hmm.
Freakishly. Like, I hugged him and my nose hit his belly button.
Uh-huh.
But super smart, smoked.
Handsome.
Handsome. Very handsome. Smoked. Don't smoke, people.
Yeah, don't smoke.
It's not good
people.
For you. Like throat cancer. And there you go.
Yeah.
But Yeah, so Sherry,
that
she
is
has
so
little,
isn't that crazy, crazy and weird, like, connection? It is weird and crazy, and it's funny because I feel like I just had the experience that other people have with me sometimes, mm-hmm. when I, like, they don't know that what's coming is that I know the person that I'm talking about,
yeah.
because of how crazy this crazy world is down here.
Yeah.
I just had that with you because Michael Crichton is not connected to us in the way that, you know, David Duchovny is.
Yes.
You know, it was very, that was a real sort of like, oh, what and a fun twist.
Right? But yet the Kevin Bacon, the
yeah.
6 degrees,
yeah.
I think is 2 degrees between Michael Crichton, me,
yeah.
Sherry, Michael.
Yeah.
It's weird.
And now I'm 3 degrees.
There
that
you
feels
go.
Good.
3 degrees
feels
between
good.
Michael Crichton. I know.
I'm a fan. Okay. So you are the baby of a family. You're palming it up, pom-pomming. I didn't have a proclivity for that side of things when I was in, I was more interested in being, as these guys know, like mm-hmm. a goth
yes.
slash punk. Oh. And so did, I think I went through that phase, that classic teenage phase where I was, scornful of like school spirity kind of stuff.
Aww.
Did you ever have a kind of like rebellious
no,
like?
Of course not. I nor will my daughter. I'm so completely average and happy and non-addictive and I'm just a happy person. And I like to dance. I mean, who doesn't like to dance?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't a cheerleader because it took too much. You know, talent to be a cheerleader, to do like backhand flips, but damn it, I could dance.
Right.
And I also am controlling. So, which is why I became the captain of the pom-pom
uh-huh,
squad.
Uh-huh.
And it was really kind of a great experience. And my girls, you know, from that are my friends on Facebook will say, God, you know, it was like some of the best time of your life.
Yeah.
Which is kind of sad, but I kind of knew it. Like
yeah.
when I was 18 years old, I remember looking in the mirror going like, you got to appreciate this. Like I was very thoughtful. Maybe I'm an old soul. I don't know. But I always knew this shit's ending.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know what? You got one life until you're reincarnated into
right.
the ghost that, and then you float around because I really believe in that too.
I want to talk about that next. That
yeah, the ghost.
On
the ghost in my
next.
House.
Yes.
But no, I wasn't. I was an angry. I one time yelled at my parents once.
Yeah.
That was it.
And did you do, I mean, if you knew that, it can go either way if you have a sense of mortality or if you have a sense of this is ending, mm-hmm. which is that you could sort of become hedonistic and like do
yes.
a little bit of drinking and like a little
right.
bit of loving.
Well, of course,
and, you know,
it was 1982 when I graduated uh-huh. high school. There's
yeah.
a little drinking and a little pot smoking, but that was it.
Yeah.
Like the fact that I was a model in New York City in the 80s and I've never done cocaine.
That is
what?
A shock.
I mean, I'm a goody two shoes.
Uh-huh.
And the reason I never did was there's this kid named Lenny Bias who died. He was a basketball player in Georgetown. And I remember hearing Lenny Bias died when he snorted cocaine, probably, you know, a bucket full of cocaine.
Right.
And I was like, well, that's good enough for me. I don't need to do it.
Yeah.
Same with cigarettes. Causes cancer. I'm not going to do that either. And of
yeah.
course, they were stupid. They do nothing. At least pot you get high from.
Right.
There's some kind of... But the just to be skinny, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so I guess some people get like a buzz off nicotine. I never did it enough that I didn't feel very nauseous.
Yeah.
Like even as a teenager who was like, you guys, I smoke. It's cool.
Right.
That really just meant that I would have half a cigarette and be like, well, I don't think I'm that.
It's
I guess
so,
I'm not cool.
It's like I'm so angry now at smokers. One time I was driving up Beechwood. You know that little hotel, kind of
mm-hmm.
crappy hotel?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm such an anti-smoker that it's inappropriate. And I yell at people sometimes.
Really?
I was driving, so I'm driving. And there was a woman who was carrying, maybe she was 6 months old,
yeah.
baby in her hands and a cigarette in the other.
Ooh.
And I started feeling it was like a hot flash. I was 30
right,
years old. It
right.
was not a hot flash.
Right.
Just coming up, I rolled down my window and I said, excuse me, you don't deserve to be holding a baby when you're blowing smoke in her face.
Yeah.
She's like, fuck you. Are you allowed to say fuck you?
Yeah, you can.
She was so angry. And I'm like, yeah. Fuck you. Fuck
like,
you, lady.
You
I'm
told me
yelling.
A story about being fucked from behind, and now you're like, but can I curse? No, anyway.
I mean, oh,
yeah.
that's true. I did. I thought I said take it from behind,
you
Janet.
Were. You're absolutely right. You did not use a curse word to describe
yeah.
it. I apologize to my
but,
younger listeners.
Thank you. Sorry.
No,
you can bleep
but yeah,
it.
No, but
I
and she
so
got
angry.
Really, of course she got angry.
Of course she got, but you know, she's like one of the tacky mom smoking in front of her baby.
I know. I saw I see people sometimes still smoking inside their cars with the windows rolled up with a child in there.
I can't do it.
I can't even wrap my head around that.
I can't. and I really have to, you know, she could have had a gun and she could have killed me in front of the baby, which is not a good idea.
That's a whole other conversation too, because I have, do you have that sort of temper where you're like, because driving I've talked about this before, but I feel like I behave as though I am in a different body than I am. Yes. And there are things I do where someone's like, why would you, that's not worth the risk of, and like, it's not a, I have a trouble thinking that way. I feel like I have a right, sort of that righteous, like being indignant, you know, yeah. where you're like, I think I have a right to tell this person they can't mug me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Instead of like, you know what, just give them your purse.
I yell at people driving a little bit, not as much as my husband. My husband will comment like every 15 seconds on why the guy, I don't like when people don't wave. I let you in, you better wave at me. Say hello.
I have a paranoia where my back window is tinted enough that I worry. I like
roll down the window, make sure.
Down the window quickly, waving wildly to make sure like I'm acknowledging the appreciation.
But you have to wave at people. This is, I mean, you got to be nice.
Yeah.
This, you know, I don't know. But I'm fine. I don't want, and you know, we live in LA. People could turn around and follow you home. So you don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And the lady, she had a baby and a cigarette. She was more concerned about finishing her cigarette than following me home. But sometimes when, you know, you drive a little faster and you get away from the people you just yelled at. But I try not to.
About this sort of, when did you figure out that you did, like, what were your experiences that you felt like that there was paranormal stuff going on? Is that something that you carried with you from when you were little?
No.
Or was it something that came up for you?
No.
In a real way?
I love photography. I take pictures of everything. I should be shooting you right now because the light is quite beautiful on your face.
Thank you very much, Paula Marshall.
I started noticing some things in my photographs.
I'm so excited about where this is going. This
some
is like
things
book two of
that,
the podcast.
By the way, are called spirit orbs.
Yeah.
You Google that and you'll see a plethora of pictures of people, these things. It's not flare on the lens. I know what flare on the lens is. Now, of course, you can Photoshop one now.
Right.
It's pretty easy. I didn't Photoshop any of these pictures. I have pictures of my daughter with a Swiffer sweeper, the best picture. And there was a spirit orb as big as her head next to her. And I originally was about to delete the photo because it wasn't a great shot of her, because I'm vain, even for my child, I'm vain for her. It was like, it's not the prettiest picture of Maya. So, but I was like, what is that? And I zoomed in. I was like, holy shit, this is a spirit orb. And then I started finding more spirit orbs. Now, my nanny at the time, she said she always felt a presence in my house. My daughter would always look at a certain doorway when she's, you know, people say kids are
animals and kids, right?
They can see things.
Like, because there's a lack of reasoning out of it, right?
Yeah. So she would always look in this doorway. And so my nanny, she always thought it was my dad who passed away, kind of watching, protecting. And probably when my kid was five, my nanny stopped feeling that presence. One time she did say that she saw kind of like an image, like you don't look at it like I'm seeing you, but kind of like in the corner of your eye when you think you see something.
Yeah.
Like a silhouette of a man with a hat. My dad did like to wear hats.
Yeah.
And that's really scary. Like, she never really told me this right away. And I remember when she would say one time when I was on set taping the show and she was at home with the kid, that she saw this like man in my house. And I think if I saw a man in my house, I never saw it. I never really felt anything except for the fact I saw the pictures. So I have a lot of spirit orbs in my pictures.
What do you think so when you saw that and when you looked it up, what is the orb? Is just a sort of representation of like the energy of
the energy of some of a spirit that has not moved on, is still hanging around.
And before this happened with the photography and with your daughter in your house, you never gave it a second thought.
No. Sometimes
and were you raised religious?
No. My parents...
Are they atheists or are they just sort of like, we don't really talk about it?
No, we were kind of Catholic. Mm-hmm. Again, my brother, very religious, Republican.
Mm-hmm. Were your parents like...
We're just like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
How did...
What an Alex P. Keaton situation.
Well, there were... Exactly. There's 20 years between my brother and myself.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Same parents. So... And he went to Catholic school and I went to, you know, public school. And we just, you said left, I said right. That's just, and it's to this day, I am still fighting with my brother, Bob. Love him, but don't agree with anything that he has to say.
Yeah.
But I never really believed in ghosts. I never really thought about it until I saw these pictures. And then also my friend Emily Proctor, actress, she said her apartment, she lived in this big high rise on La Cienega. Mm-hmm. She said she had about 3 or 4 ghosts in her house that one would hide her keys constantly.
Yeah.
One time they were in the freezer. One time they were.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, keys God. In the freezer.
I wish more stuff happened directly to me because yeah. I want to believe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
David Duke Company shout out.
Yeah.
but I don't have a lot of personal experience. And no. It's hard because in a weird way, just to draw this parallel, kind of maybe why in the back of my mind I was asking you about the religion thing, mm-hmm. it is like you can't give that experience to someone else. Like no. you kind of, you know what I mean? You can have the openness to want to believe, to want yeah. to have the faith, but unless you have that personal experience, some people have that experience with their God, some yeah. people have it with, you know, these different things. Like I, whatever experiences I've had that feel in any way similar to that, I haven't been able to just like settle on the idea of it being the energy of a person.
Yeah.
But it's, I'm always hoping that, but I'm also like, I guess I'm agnostic in mm-hmm. the sense that I want science to end up explaining God.
Yes.
But in a still a mystical way. Like I want us to be able to say, we figured it out. It is that the energy of our
we
souls,
are never,
our atoms and blah, blah, blah. And like,
we're never
going
to figure it out. That's what's so free. I mean, to me, religion is for, it's scary to think there's nothing out there.
Yeah,
and there's no reason for this except that there was just here we are.
Right.
So to me, and again, I'm kind of anti-religion. To me, I think to go when anyone the Grammys, you win an Oscar or Grammy, don't thank God. God did not do this. When you win the Super Bowl, God doesn't care. Seattle Seahawks, Russell Wilson, he doesn't care if you win or not.
Right.
This is ridiculous. So I always feel like when people, and this is a, I'm a little jaded. I'm a little narrow-minded when it comes to this. I think it's kind of a weakness. My husband's just like rolling over. That you have to give blame or credit beyond yourself mm-hmm. is much easier than taking it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I think I make things happen. I don't pray to God to give me things, or your kid comes down with cancer. That's not God.
Well, that's a slippery slope, right? Yeah.
If you
credit this, then
that's
you
right.
credit this, and then that.
Why would God
like,
want give your baby right. cancer?
That's what my dad's because, like. That's how I was raised by on that side.
Yeah,
my dad. Like, I don't ever want to believe in a God that would allow any of this to happen. So I'm not going to.
No.
But I also think that to be devil's advocate here
yes.
a little bit, I do think that there's something about. I guess I'll put it in terms of people who end up getting into a program to beat their addiction, which I'm mm-hmm. not in or anything mm-hmm. like that. But like, you know, this is
yes.
a city full of very creative, very sensitive people.
Very creative.
And everyone sensitive. Has their different way
yes.
of either looking at it or not looking at it
yeah.
or both.
Yeah.
But I think there's something about the humility of when you understand yourself to be capable of self-loathing or mm-hmm. making decisions that are, you know, in defiance of self-love, then maybe there's something that's a relief about wanting to participate in something that feels bigger than you, whether or not
right.
that's so. And also, like, I do feel that I can understand, again, it's sort of the same thing as your experience of what it's like reading for you. I feel like I've touched the side of making something cool and not really understanding how I came up with it or why it happened
mm-hmm.
in a way that's not as like I plugged through this idea until it made sense and it was hard work, but it ended with something that I really had to finesse and now mm-hmm. this is the final product. There are also times where something seems to flow so easily that you do sort of feel like, to be honest with you, I don't know where that came from.
Right.
And I think that that kind of, that doesn't have to be God related, but
yeah.
there can be that's it's how different would that be from the idea of a spirit orb? Like
mm-hmm.
if there's an energy, if there are energies that are contributing
yeah.
to things
yes.
and for some reason something flows through you,
mm-hmm.
I appreciate the humility of someone being like, I got to be honest with you, I don't know how I wrote this song.
Mm-hmm.
I feel real lucky that I wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
No one else wrote it,
mm-hmm.
but I kind of feel like someone else wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a shorthand of saying that. Now,
mm-hmm.
I agree with you that for me would not be, I just want to thank God for all of this. Like
yeah.
he's the reason, you
yeah.
know, God the Father is the reason that I'm here on the stage. That does it all, for my whole life. It's always sort of like I tense up.
Yeah. Well,
the
only thing that, that is hard for me is that so many people believe in this thing. This thing called the Bible. Like, but who wrote it?
Right.
Men wrote it. A bunch of men wrote this thing.
But don't you think there are a bunch of people who are like, so many people believe in ghosts. so many people believe in ghosts, you guys. Come on.
But compared to like, or Buddhists or the yeah. you know, you got Jewish people believing one thing and you got the Christians and the Muslims, they're all believing in something else. And to me, all the wars start because of religion or a chick. So,
do you feel like that's still true, or do you feel like money is a huge piece? I mean, because well, I feel like so much of why anything we get involved with, it's a conflict, yeah, starts to right. feel with very
oil,
like
the,
money.
You know, Bush, it was about the oil. So you're right. So it's religion, oil, and chicks. Uh-huh. That's what it is. Money, oil. But I mean, ultimately, look at what's happening, you know, in the Middle East. It's about religion. It's yeah. these people, these really brainwashed individuals. It's so sad. I mean, to me, again, and I don't have a religion, to me, it's like a big connection between people. It's about being kind to each other, and it's energy of the world and the, you know, be nice to people. And yeah. you're nice. I do the silly thing because I do crave Coca-Cola, real Coke, not diet. I occasionally find myself at McDonald's. And what I do is I go to McDonald's and I order my medium sized Coke for $1.09, which is a great bargain if you ask me. And what I do pretty much every time I go is I buy the car behind me.
Yeah.
And I say, can I pay for the car behind me? And they're like, why? I'm like, I don't know. Just cause.
Yeah.
Just pay it forward.
Yeah.
I hate that whole, that sentence. It's like a play date. I don't like saying play date. I say it now because I have a child.
I know.
So it's just like being
nice.
I agree.
I feel exactly the same way about pay it forward cheapened a thing that felt just like
that
lovely.
That was mine.
Great. Yeah.
It was totally mine. Pay it forward at McDonald's. But the look on their face when they drive up and they go to pay and then they look and they look and they point and then I go, sometimes yeah. I drive away and they never see me.
Yeah.
Or sometimes I go, wow, that was kind of nice. So like this person's like, someone just bought me a Big Mac.
Yeah.
Someone just bought me a coffee. And it's just, to me, it's about connecting with people and, you know, karma, baby.
I know.
That's what I think it is. You know?
And I agree with you. Like, and I'm going to get into the Smash game, which I didn't warn you were going to be doing.
There's
but,
a game.
Game. I agree. we know that you like having fun. So hopefully this will be fun.
I do.
But, like that, just to tie up the sort of Middle East conflict.
We talked
like
a lot
that.
About Hillary,
been
the Middle
all over
East.
The place. I know.
Being
we touched
screwed
in.
From behind.
Also ghosts.
Ghosts.
Thank God.
I'm an exciting guest.
I just thanks that you were a very exciting
right?
guest.
Don't you think?
Can't believe you don't do more podcasts. I feel very like now I feel very possessive. Like and don't do any more because you're my special
right.
podcast guest.
The first and last time.
The thing that I struggle with that is like to your point, it's so steeped in culture and the community of it, and you know, it's
people.
So it's become so muddled in us versus them in such a specific way that I feel very lucky not to be attached to any one thing so much that, you know,
but
I feel like I'm being torn apart by it. You know?
Yes. But how, I just feel so sorry for the people and the ladies and the girls over there. And, but how do you grow up with such hatred? And I guess we, you know, like people give Obama so much grief about, you know, taking responsibility for our actions and what makes, like my husband would always say, which I think is super cool. If I came home and you were having sex with like, you know, two really hot, sexy guys, I would have to say to myself, what did I do to contribute to this? That's the kind of husband I have instead of blaming. But it's true. Nothing happens in a vacuum. Yeah. And hate doesn't happen out of nothing.
Yeah.
But I just feel so sorry for those people over there. Who wants to cut off heads? How does that make you feel good? How do you, I mean, it's so like, I can't even, if I think about it too much, I get too sad and then I go to McDonald's and I get a Coke for $1.09 and I feel better and I buy the car behind me.
The question is, do you travel with Kleenex in your car? I should probably ask.
Of course.
For moments.
Of course.
All right.
And this, wipes.
Smart. Always smart. Okay.
Yeah.
My MASH game. Hopefully you played this at
Never.
Some point in the 70s or 80s because it is circa that.
Okay.
Mansion, apartment, shack, house. That is what MASH stands for. I'm going to ask you
mansion,
to answer
apartment.
Questions in three. Kay. You don't have to remember that. But
okay.
Three categories. I've got these different categories. Kay. You're going to give me three options.
Okay.
In the end, I'll do like a eeny, meeny, miny, moe situation. And I'll be like, you got this,
okay.
in this, with this, and you got this. And
is
it's
this
like a fictional future.
Is it a Mad Libs kind of?
But ish.
Different.
But
okay.
it's like a lifestyle Mad Libs. Let's
okay.
start with one. I'll start you with an easy one.
Okay.
I'll start you with the Gianna Varney special. We live in this alternate universe where food or drink that is quite terrible for you is actually vitamin enriched,
okay.
wonderful, and you have access to it at the snap of a finger. Three foods that you you can have whenever you want that have no physical ramifications. In fact, they are good for you. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Okay. So I'm going to give you three foods.
You can give me three.
Sushi, which is kind of is. Pasta.
Yeah, there you go.
Bread and butter.
Ugh, just some
like
delicious
French bread.
Yeah, I know.
And butter.
And just French, delicious, slightly salty butter.
Yeah. Ugh, and you want drinks too?
Nope, that was it.
Okay, food.
I mean, you could have gone drinks or food. Okay, second one is three places in the world that you would like to have a vacation home.
Italy.
Great.
Italy. I can't say Italy twice.
You can give me specific places in Italy. You can be like, oh, the Amalfi Coast versus Venice versus whatever. You don't want to live in Venice. We both know that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Vacation home. I'm not big on vacations, so this is tricky.
I hear you. I'm not really. Well, I like a busy vacation.
Greece.
But great.
I've never been. I want to go Greece. And then maybe just a little place in Napa.
I'm in for all of this.
Yeah.
Next thing is you wake up tomorrow morning and sort of Matrix style, you've downloaded three skills into your brain that suddenly you're amazing at.
Oh, wow. Math.
Great.
For sure. Overall communication.
Great.
And a master of my Mac.
Great.
Just, I really would love to be smarter with
there
the
is
computer.
A tease to knowing that you have a device that is capable of like 1,000% more stuff than you know what to do with it. I very much connect
to
that.
I'm like 0.5% of what I know on the computer.
I very much connect to that.
Yeah.
Okay. Next one is going to be three people from any time in history, whatever, living or dead, that you wish were a person that you could call and say, like, what do you think I should do about this? And they love taking your call, and they're like,
they do.
Paula,
so they're not,
I love you.
They're not too
no,
important.
No, they're like, my sweet, sweet Paula. Oh, I could talk to you for hours. How can I help you? What can I tell you?
Gosh, maybe Lauren Bacall.
Oh, wonderful.
She used to live right around the corner, you know.
Ooh.
With, Lauren Bacall, because she's so sexy. JFK.
Great.
He's Martin Luther King. Biggies.
Get some JFKs and some MLKs.
You know.
Great. No, go for the biggies.
I'm not
go
that
for
important,
broke.
Though, but if I could.
You are in this world, baby.
Okay.
You are in this
in
world.
In the mashup.
Oh, yes. Three movies that you can go into and the world in the movie is real. So it's sort of just like you drop in and you get to just be and live in that place and space. And it can be as fantastic or as sci-fi or as whatever as you want.
Okay.
Be a cartoon, I don't care.
And maybe this has to do with the fact that I love the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Defending Your Life.
Oh, God.
For sure.
Right?
Forget it.
Ugh.
The best.
It's so,
so
great.
Good.
It's definitely in my top five. Although I realized yesterday and articulated this as such that I have 20 top five movies.
Oh, that's too much.
You know what I mean?
It's really
you're
too
like,
much.
That's in my top five. And you're like, but you've just named six movies. And you're like, I know, but they're all in my top five.
If in different categories.
Yeah, I guess that's how I would have to break down. Defending Your Life, I'm in.
For
in,
sure.
In.
Animal House, because
great.
That's fun.
Great.
Right?
Great, great, great.
And let's see something else that makes me happy. Hang on.
I know, it's very off the cuff.
It's so off the cuff. And I'm thinking, like, is it my favorite movie or some like a vibe that I'd want to go into?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Monty Python.
Great.
Monty Python. Oh, what's it called? Not what's it called with the
Life of Brian?
No, Pellegrino. Red, no green. What's your favorite color? Red, no green. Blue.
History of Fly. What am I?
It's the Monty Python one.
But not the Holy Grail.
Holy Grail.
Okay, thank God.
Holy Grail. Why not?
Great, great. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. Perfect. Okay, next one is going to be, now listen.
What?
This is just part of the match
personal.
Game. I want to give all due respect to your husband.
I'm not wearing underwear. What? I'm sorry. So I thought you were going there. I'm
tape
sorry.
It. I hope you taped up.
Okay.
All due respect to your wonderful husband.
Mm-hmm.
This is an alternate universe mesh.
Ryan
situation.
Gosling, any time
okay.
of day.
Good. Go ahead.
Morning, afternoon,
there.
Ryan Gosling.
Need two more? I'm always so interested when someone has
is this sex or are we just hanging
meeting?
Out with?
Either way. Either way.
Larry David.
All right.
Funny.
Yeah.
You know what? That goes a long way.
Oh, no, for sure. But like what I was going to say was hanging out is like, that just feels, sounds like friendship to me. But yes. But I understand.
I would be making love. Right, no, great. I don't make love. I just, you know, I do that other thing. Ryan, Larry David, and who else? But it's had to be sexual.
It's
so funny.
To.
I'm not really,
have to be.
I'm not really attracted to that many like movie star.
I'm not either, but
hang on, wait a minute. I'm drawing a blank. Quarterback.
This will be
for
good
the Rams.
Oh, I'm the worst.
Used to be the Rams.
Worst.
Oh my God, no Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner.
Kurt right. Warner. But he's too religious. If he wasn't religious
in this universe,
if he wasn't religious, I would be all over him.
He's a staunch atheist.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Next category is going to be. Well, you know what? Let's do it. Let's do three like sort of places in time that you could check out. You could travel to and be like, you're a fly on the wall. You're totally safe. Nothing bad's going to happen to you. You get to just like, you know, get some questions answered or just like enjoy seeing, you know, what it was like during Marie Antoinette's time, whatever. Three opportunities to sort of like drop in and check something out.
For sure. The 40s. I'm over just a big overhaul, like Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis, that whole era.
Great.
I would love that. But I wouldn't want to be pregnant then because I couldn't get an abortion.
You to just like drop in.
Yeah. Drop in. Anything much older than that, I feel like I wouldn't be comfortable physically, deodorant, stuff like that. So I would probably say maybe the 70s, like 1972 in New York. Just the Studio 54, that whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, David Bowie and the whole, that would be really fun. And let's see. Gosh, I'm so picky.
What
maybe
about
the future?
Maybe
the future,
it.
But the future's scary.
I know.
But I would say maybe 100 years from now.
Ooh, I love it. I love that you're taking a little gamble.
New
I
York
think
City,
really
100 years from
great.
Now.
Great, great, great.
It could be just nothing there.
I know.
I mean, because I do love those futuristic movies that are just like
I'm
12
so
monkeys,
into
that whole like
ruin, like getting to see the ruins of something that was once bustling. Is
right.
Like, gives me the most thrilling.
Pompeii, man.
Chill.
What happened there?
I know.
Weird. So crazy.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. Final category for Paula Marshall. Okay. That's going
to
be.
I love that you don't even have this. You're just making this shit up.
I'm customizing.
I mean, but you don't even have anything written down.
That's right. I won't remember
just
any of this.
None of it.
Final category for you is you have three, like, businesses, whatever. The great thing about this MASH universe is that you don't, it's not like you're toiling away at them. It's just that, you know how like Eva Longoria or whatever, Longoria, I don't even know her name, has a restaurant. It could
she
be
does.
Like that, but you don't have to, it's not like, oh my God, we're losing a bunch of money. It's just like, oh, these are successful, doing well. Could be a service, could be a cafe, could be, you know, a bookstore, whatever, anything like that.
That I would want to that like you, be that, owner like, of.
Yeah.
I would want to have a bar named Cheers where everyone goes
Amazing.
And you feel comfortable.
Wonderful.
And everyone knows your name. But it's not like the Soho House because that's the modern day Cheers.
Right.
It's too expensive.
Right.
And the food's not that great.
No.
Sorry, Soho House. But the idea, and it's a little too elitist for me too.
Yes. I
right.
agree with that.
Okay. So that I really would love to have, but this is not really that. I would love to, because I love photography, I would want to have just a beautiful big studio.
That's great. I support that wholeheartedly.
It's a photography business, and I would be like Bill King. Again, back to Bill. I just,
great.
Big white thing, and I could shoot anytime I want.
Well, I think what one thing I'm going to say about the about you and about the photography thing, and I know this is like a very psychoanalytical, but I think that I'm always really appreciative of people who are still into photography because it requires being present in a moment where I think we're in kind of a place, even if it means you're posting it to Instagram, right?
Yeah.
But like you still have to observe something in a moment that you capture in time. I think it requires, like I was watching people, I ride around the lake lunch and I was watching people taking pictures of like the flowers that are all in bloom and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I'm so glad people are still into that.
Taking pictures. Well, I think it's even more accessible because now we're all carrying a camera now.
Yeah.
It's not a great camera, but we're capturing these moments. And to me, I'm putting together a book of my photography. And it's true. The reason I do it is I'm capturing life and life is so freaking great. Yeah. And I don't ever want to forget these moments. And when I look back at every picture I've ever taken, I remember the moment I took that picture. Mm. And for some reason, that makes me feel really good. And I was obsessed mm-hmm. with my parents' black and white photography from the 40s. Mm-hmm. Weird that I want to go back to the 40s. I also like to swing dance. So that was a big thing.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's so fun.
Back when
I need to be swing dancing.
Well, back in the day when I first came to Hollywood 20 some years ago, would go to the Derby down the street. And it's gone. Yeah. And that was where I used to swing. And it was so cool that there was all these people that knew how to dance. Like I grew up dancing with my father. So anyway, but yeah, I would photography studio.
And what's the final third thing?
I would say maybe Paula's on Third, it would be called. Perfect. Like Jones on Third.
Yeah,
you great.
Go.
You know, you go, you get some coffee. It's different than Cheers, because Cheers is a drinking.
No, very different. Yeah.
Right.
It's like the sort of the daytime and nighttime versions of those things, in a sense.
Right.
This is great. The only thing I need from you now is just, I'm a dual thing, and you just tell me when to stop without knowing. Not wearing underwear, but 34B.
But 34B bra.
Okay. So tell me when to stop.
Stop. Great. I don't know what you're doing over
there.
I know.
It's like a thing where
now
I count the rings. It's very fortune tellery. It's like, okay, this is where you stop.
Okay.
These are
got it.
And then I'll go like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then I'll cross out. So I'm going to pause it. This is a great time for you to pee if you need to.
I do not have to.
Totally okay if you just chill out while I do this. Won't take very long.
I'm going to nap.
Snooze it up. I'll wake you up. I'll set an alarm.
Thank you.
I'll be right back. Listen, I'm excited to announce some cool things. Here's what happened. So busy doing this, calculating, but talking to you at the same time. Uh-huh. I don't know what you got. Like, I don't remember, but I'm already seeing a lot of really great stuff here. I think you're going to be very happy with the results.
Okay.
Number one, you have a vacation home in Napa.
I love it. Maybe retiring there.
It makes sense to me also somehow that, you didn't get the place in Italy, but I like the convenience of Napa, frankly.
Right. Yes.
Because you don't have to, if you're not a big vacation person, it's such a haul to get over there. This is an easy little bop up for the weekend.
Exactly.
Eat as much pasta as you want.
Oh,
here
my.
Or there.
Wow.
Limitless.
Happy with this.
Limitless.
Yeah.
You are an outstanding communicator as of tomorrow morning. When
oh, my gosh. Danny's going to be so happy.
Really communicate it. You can be empathetic.
I'll say this all the time. What I hear you say is.
That's right.
What it makes
That's
me
right.
feel.
That's right.
Okay.
That's
awesome.
Right. Got any questions about anything? You want to get on the horn with somebody who adores you? John F. Kennedy.
Oh, John.
Don't mind if I do.
Okay.
Well done.
Awesome.
Need a little relief from all this touchy-feely communication.
Uh-huh.
Jump into the world of Animal House
and just relax,
have a food
and have
fight.
A beer.
Yeah.
Okay.
So congratulations on that.
That's fun.
I want to also say I'm very excited for your report back on visiting New York City 100 years into the future.
It's going to just be cold.
Very, very interesting.
Global warming.
You know what you need to do while you're there
what?
Is take plenty of pictures.
Pictures.
Because, my baby, you got yourself a photography studio like no
awesome.
Other. You got that.
I'm so happy.
And the person that you are in this alternate universe spending some sexy times with,
sexy.
None other than Mr. Kurt Warner, the non-religious version.
Wow.
Kurt Warner, that's your MASH feature.
I love it. We watched football in New York.
Yeah. You really did it.
I'm very happy.
That's great. You really, really, really did it. I think you knocked it out of the park on this
I don't
one.
Need anything else now.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm good.
Paula,
Janet.
Thank you so much for doing the podcast. I know that you're in the midst of where everybody's kind of in the midst of figuring out what the next job is going to be, but I will say about you, anybody who's not familiar with Paula, first of all, here's what's going to happen. If you think you don't know, then you will like look her up and you'll go, I totally know who that is. And then you'll look at all the amazing stuff she's done that you love, and then you'll go and you'll rewatch it. Do yourself a favor, give yourself a treat. What are a couple of things that you do? Gary and Mary being an example of the experience that you loved having. What are a couple of things that you are like, I'm so fucking happy and lucky that I did that, like that people can check out?
I would say Cupid. Cupid was one of the greatest jobs I ever had. Jeremy Piven and I, we would just ad lib left
really
and
love
right.
Him.
He's
I think he's so terrific.
I've never been quite as good as I was opposite that man.
Yeah.
Californication was a great experience. It was
so great on
just
that.
Fun and light, and Duchovny is such a great leader.
Mm-hmm.
Not every star of every show is so talented and willing to share the spotlight, and he was.
Yeah.
And what else? Yeah, those are probably
those are
my
great.
Top,
those are
top
great.
Three.
Yeah,
love
so,
those.
So revisit or visit those guys. And I'm going to leave you with that and say we'll just talk to you next time on the podcast. As always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.